Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 8th, 68th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, we're not calling him interim because we all have our favorites, CR President Paul Goswami. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You have any problems with me using that title?
Well, let's finally make it official or not, and then we can see what it is.
Are you looking for me to do a blessing? To
please.
Make it official? Realizing, of course, I have zero authority to do so.
That's right.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about redistricting. We've heard it with the congressional district that there are changes going on in our area and a bunch of areas throughout the state and throughout the country also, causing some interesting situations to occur. We'll talk a bit about redistricting, how the districts were even formed, and what they currently look like versus what they proposed to be looking like when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Utpal Goswami. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. Favorite.
You think this is tame? Maybe not. Quote, "I'll stay until I'm tired of it. So long as Britain needs me, I shall never be tired of it."
My sentiments exactly.
Huh? You're a big fan of Thatcher now, huh? I guess before we get into the redistricting, how's the process going? Is it what you had anticipated it?
It's a typical standard process by which presidents are selected. So it is the average, normal process.
No surprises?
No surprises.
Have you gone through this one before?
Yes.
I won't ask the outcome. How different is it from being one of the senior department heads, VP of, mm-hmm. fill in the blank? Is there parallel or is it different?
It's very different. This is much more public, and many constituents get to chime in terms of what they like or dislike about a person.
So almost having a track record can work against you.
It works both ways.
Yeah, as well as in favor.
Right.
Okay. Huh. Obviously, you do it again because you're doing it now. That's just the public part, I think, would probably scare off an awful lot of people.
It does. And actually, that's why there is a shortage of people coming up the ranks who aspire to a presidency.
Oh, really? It's not something everybody wants to do?
People used to aspire to a presidency in the past, and so the pipeline was quite strong. Now they're predicting shortages of presidents in a very short time period.
Because of that concern primarily?
The job has become, for a lot of people, unmanageable. You're required to be almost everything to everybody. At the same time,
So it's unreasonable expectations. It's not regulatory environment?
No. It is the expectation of the folks.
Well, now, isn't that a cultural thing for each institution?
That's how it's evolved, because higher education culture migrates from institution to institution because people move from institution to institution.
Oh, good point.
So things has a habit of spreading.
So it's not locked into the parking lot and it just stays there waiting for the next guy or gal to come around the corner.
No.
It's going out. I don't know if this is fair or not, but is the same expectation of access, of information, of whatever at a four-year institution the same as a two-year? At a public, is it the same as at a private?
There's a little bit of difference in a four-year in a sense that in most four-year institutions, you have a lot more support staff. So as a result, you are less likely to be asked to justify decisions. at the same time in four institutions, probably the fundraising aspect will become a little bit more. While in the two-year environment, you end up justifying your decisions every day.
Is fundraising a primary component of the president's job at a two-year institution?
No.
But at a four-year?
Definitely.
It's really, well, it's all about the alumni, I would think,
mm-hmm.
and the relationships associated with that.
Right.
Is there a lot of relationship intermingling with alumni for you?
We would like to go there because my background was private schools. I started off at a private school. So fundraising and interaction with alumni and all of that I'm quite familiar with it.
Hardwired in there somewhere, huh?
Right. So, and that's an untapped source of goodwill and philanthropy for community colleges.
Yeah, because the CR Foundation has been one that's been around
for a long time.
Didn't Gene Portugal start that when the school was starting?
I don't know the exact history, but
I think through the 60s or somewhere in the 60s it must have started with the stadium being a fundraising mm-hmm. local. So there's
community stadium, right?
Yeah, some connections mm-hmm. with all of that. So is it frustrating not to be able to do that?
Well, if I'm the president, then of course, no. I have a desire that we can jumpstart that process. Because that allows essentially to you to connect with the community more.
And you really need that, the first word, community, right?
Right.
Yeah. that would be interesting. Interesting to see what and how. Now, you don't have the infrastructure that a four-year has, though.
We don't. We have to chart our own territory.
So how do you, it's not like the workload is any less?
No.
Structuring?
It'll be additional workload.
Okay. But you're smiling when you say that, stranger.
Yeah.
So, sounds to me like it's something you're looking forward to.
Yeah, that'll be a good thing to do because clearly the community understands the contributions that the college has made over the last 40 years.
Yeah. Now, Joe isn't going to have you dress up as a football player and then as a volleyball player and then the basketball to...
No.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure that it's not going to get ugly. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:21. We'll be back with more from Utpal Goswami.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information for Time. Blah, blah, blah. 4:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with CR Head Honcho.
Yes.
Utpal Goswami. Redistricting is something, Utpal, that I think a lot of folks are familiar with the phrase
because mm-hmm.
it's been talked about for the last couple of years.
Yes.
Practical application? Not so much. Humboldt County, maybe a little bit because they were mucking around with the first district and a declared candidate. You know, was he in? Was he out? Arguments, to all that mm-hmm. stuff. Neighborhoods, things of that nature. Parallel to what CR has with your districts? The fact that there are going to be some changes that are kind of halfway significant?
Yeah. Actually, it will be quite significant. Because originally the districts were drawn according to school districts.
Oh, it wasn't population, it was school districts.
Yes.
Ah.
And then we got additional dispensation from the education code to add two additional trustees. So we have the highest number of trustees in California, 9.
Because of the
Mendocino
area?
And Del Norte. And then, so when we came up to redistricting this year, of course, redistricting is based on the presumption of one person, one vote. So
it's kind of a leap of faith, isn't it?
Well, the way they look at it, no, if you have a district that's 20,000 and another district that's 7,000, then the 7,000 population has more than one person, one vote effect.
Right, in the ratio. Yeah.
So that's why the idea is to kind of have all the districts roughly equal.
So moving out of the school district model into a more traditional model.
Right.
I would think that's a big change for the guys in Mendocino.
Mendocino actually turned out lucky in a sense that their population was right at the average that we are shooting for. So Mendocino, actually, we did not change anything.
Shot in the dark, huh?
Right. Now, the significant change that took place is that the Ferndale area and then the Garberville area, Southern Humboldt, those two had to be combined to make one district. So therefore, from the two trustees who are from those areas, there'll be one trustee in 2013.
So that's an election this fall?
No, 2013.
Oh, it's going to be a special. Okay, in the off year, it won't be.
So people get to serve out their term, even if you redistrict them out of the district. Huh. Then we ended up, because what has happened is that in Humboldt County, the population has moved north. So Arcata was not represented very well. So therefore, we ended up creating a new district that pretty much covers the town city limits of Arcata.
Yeah, watch those words, buddy.
And then the other eastern Humboldt, it's a huge area, but no population. So just to make the population numbers, the eastern district had to encroach into Del Norte
to pick some
numbers, right.
Okay.
So the eastern district of Humboldt, which ended on the northern boundaries of Humboldt County, just to pick the numbers, they had to encroach a little bit into Del Norte.
Klamath?
Klamath and a little bit north.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to think, okay, so population Del Norte. Oh, that'll be kind of tough to find, unless you're getting up on 199 or right into town.
So it's a huge district in terms of size, the eastern Humboldt district.
Is the responsibility of a trustee member the same as it would be for a supervisor or for other elected positions? I've never heard of a public meeting other than the board meetings that an individual trustee member did. It's always either the group or it's the group at just the regular monthly meetings.
No, they act as a board, of course. Now, when it comes to redistricting, there are a couple of deadlines. Before March 1st, the trustees themselves have the option of redistricting. So if they don't do the redistricting by March 1st, then the county takes over and they will redistrict. So in our case, our trustees worked together and redistricted, and it was approved on February 27th.
They learned from the other process what not to do, knew not to do it. Okay. No dummies?
No.
So does this have to be ratified now at the next board meeting, or was that what happened last week?
It happened last week, so now it will be, go to the elections office and
certify it.
They'll update the roles and everything else.
The fact that there's the branch campus or the I guess it's called a branch campus. I don't know what you would call it in Garberville.
No, that's a site.
Okay. And that has the way you pounced on that, there's a technical definition and there's a distinction between the two.
Right. There is a connotation, right.
So a site is just a building?
A place where we have a few classes.
Okay. So that's what Eureka has?
Eureka is
in it.
Eureka is a campus.
Not the main campus, but inside the city itself.
The downtown?
Yeah.
Is a center.
Okay. And a center is defined as a group of buildings?
Center is a smaller campus.
Okay.
So a campus will have full service. A center will have significant amount of service. A site will have pretty much classrooms, but nothing beyond.
And the maintenance vehicle?
it moves it on.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CR President, Utpal Goswami. You know, positive momentum here, right?
Yep.
Okay. As you're looking at the financial picture of the state, and then the trickling down to the campuses, branches and sites and trucks.
Yep.
What do you see for the remainder of this year? Any change, or have all the changes pretty much been shared and have been introduced into the system?
This year, we have pretty much taken care of it, so there will be no net effects this year, which is 11-12. 12-13, of course, there will be significant changes.
With that as a backdrop, do the colleges and universities have the same requirement for notification dates
Yes.
that the K-12 has?
Yes.
So sometime in the next week or so?
And we are trying to avoid it.
But anybody who might would have to be notified.
That's right.
Can you pull that rabbit out of the hat?
We're trying really hard not to touch people.
A lot of times it's through attrition?
Through attrition. And one of the things that is going to help us is that we had an early retirement incentive. And a number of people have taken advantage of that.
Does that... Obviously, it helps the short term.
Short term, right.
Long term, is there a significant impact to the financial? Are you mortgaging today for tomorrow?
That's how you, if you don't do it right, you will mortgaging today for tomorrow. So as you're making short term decisions, you have to make sure that you are also keeping an eye on the long term. And so therefore, you have to be very, very strategic in terms of how you fill positions, what positions you fill, how you restructure operations, because when total dollars are small, you have to find different ways of doing the same things cheaper.
You mentioned restructuring. A lot of times that involves doing the job differently.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, by definition. But with the fact that you've got union contracts as an overlay, does that complicate things significantly?
Yeah, it complicates a little bit if there is significant change in the job classifications and the nature of the jobs. But a lot of restructuring involves service levels. That before, if you expected that moment you put in a complaint about a computer, it's taken care of in 10 minutes. Now it might have to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
So a lot of
reality checks.
Right.
Okay.
So sometimes restructuring ends up showing up not in different jobs or changing jobs, but the service levels that the institution is used to.
Do you find much pushback on that as a concept? I mean, I would think that that would be pretty straightforward stuff.
But it's human nature to expect the on-time service almost immediately. So there's always pushback. Why can we not have this?
And yeah, manage pushback. How's that?
That's right.
Managing expectations, et cetera, et cetera. Will we see anything different in the model that you see for the next fiscal or next academic year? Will the kids see it? Kids. Will the students see anything different? Will the faculty see anything in the day-to-day? I mean,
no.
That sounds like it's, okay, we're going to defer the maintenance on the roof. kind of a thing. You know, if it's an hour or it's 2 hours or if it's 10 minutes, okay, so one class time is impacted. Okay, well, I've had kids go through, I had buddies go through, you know, teachers don't want, you know, not going to show up for today. Okay, no class this Friday. I mean, it's same
no,
kind of flexible thing.
We are not trying. We are trying very hard to not affect students and what goes in the classroom. So I'm quite comfortable in saying that students will not see a big difference in what happens in the classroom. In fact, they shouldn't see any difference in the classroom. It'll be in other areas of services.
You folks have got a number of infrastructure investments that are going on, mm-hmm. understanding that those are grant and bond funded,
right,
rather than the day-to-day or the annual budget. The structure's there.
Mm-hmm.
The structure goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Will the money be there to use the structure?
Yes.
Okay. So even though the budget may be a little tight, you're still going to be able to take advantage of right. the assets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there
and it actually saves some dollars because our utilities costs are going to come down.
Okay. How much is the utility cost at Redwoods?
Don't quote me exactly on it, but it's $1.5 to $2 million a year.
So you're looking at about $100,000 a month ish.
Yeah, or more.
With fluctuations yeah. for like heating and things of that nature. If the pool was open, how much more would that kick it up?
Don't know, but probably another $300,000 a year.
Holy Toledo. $25,000 a month to heat the pool. $1,000 a day. I understand why it's not a top priority. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Utpal Goswami.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Utpal Goswami from CR. Utpal, the accreditation... Was it last? I guess it happened in the last 4 or 5 weeks, the disclosure. I'm sure one of the things that they're looking at is, okay, what progress is being done? How quick is it being done?
That's right.
How high of a priority is this?
Mm-hmm.
What would you answer them after a couple of weeks into the process now?
Well, when the visiting team comes in October, they will realize that we did not wait till February to start our processes. We started the processes last April, May, because we knew we had work to do, so that work has started. And there's evidence that work has started way back in April, May, June of last year. Obviously, because of the sanction, we speeded up a couple of the activities. What we're looking at is, in the next month, we had 8 major recommendations from the commission. About 5 of them will be completed and done by end of March. The 2 major ones, we are picking up speed. Faculty and staff has come on board and they're working hard to make sure that every unit and every entity participates in the process. So assessment and student learning outcomes, which was one of our issues, our deadline is by end of May, we'll be done with that. And the same thing with planning and integration of planning. We're on track to finish that in end of May also. So,
well, even by my simple calculations, being a byproduct of public education, mm-hmm. I see 2 + 5 is 1 short of 8.
Yes. The last one is related to the board. And the board's going to discuss it at the next board meeting. And they will take some actions, and that will address that item also.
Oh, so that's more of a process-oriented
yes.
issue? Well, that a I would think would be a pretty simple one to...
It should be fairly straightforward for the board to be able to work through that.
Simple for me, maybe not for them. You're right.
So, you know, I'm pleased to report to the community that we are making good progress. And we are not waiting till October to finish what we need to finish. We'll actually finish things by May or June, and then use the rest of the 3 or 4 months to improve our processes if there is need to improve anything.
So has the fact that the search for the president is going on at mm-hmm. the same time as dealing with the accreditation process, mm-hmm. has that slowed anything up at all, or are they two unrelated?
It does introduce an element of uncertainty in the process because, of course, it makes it difficult for me to assert myself as an interim. And, of course, naturally, faculty and staff also might wonder sometimes whether or not, whether if I'm not the person, then is the new person going to do something different? So it does introduce an element of uncertainty, but I have been using the word since last summer that one of the things we should do in an institution for long-term health is to president-proof the institution. That is, certain core activities in the institution takes place regardless of who the president is. And my goal is to take the institution there.
Quality circles, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Or circles of quality, I guess. Is what. Yeah, so it doesn't matter who's in charge.
Because some things have to be done, and it's mandated. It is an accreditation requirement, so it should not be a matter of choice.
How does a school get away from the basic structure that the state requires? Is it, what I'm hearing accreditation being is that that's state-required structural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How would Siskiyou's get away from it, or Butte, or American River, or pick a school in California? How do you deviate far enough from it to trigger an issue if it was initially put in correctly?
I think the point where Redwood is right now is not because of what happened in 1 year or 2 year. It was slow progression towards it over the last 5 or 6 years. The warning signs were there. Of course, as standards were ratcheted up, for a while there is reluctance to admit that it has been ratcheted up. For a while, there is reluctance to comply because we are independent. And all of those things, you know, come into play. So therefore, a lot of institutions are slow to come fully on board.
So that cultural cross-population thing that we were talking about earlier in the show only goes so far.
Right. And what affected Redwoods and the report points out also in many places is that there was significant transitions in the upper-level leaderships. So there was lack of stability in the upper-level leadership. So that's why many things that we do only well only for a little while, and it stops.
So if they're going to offer this thing to you, you've got a lifetime?
No, hopefully not a lifetime. You know.
Well, okay. Until retirement, how's that? Well, a career lifetime. Yeah. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll be able to get rid of that interim thing next month, huh?
Sure.
All right. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Utpal Goswami. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.